You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
This is not Larry Connors. This is Randy Mayfield. We've got a great show for you today. We're going to come back and talk about a lot of different items that are in the news right now. But for the moment, listen to these clips, and we'll come back and talk with you right after this.
We mark a tragic milestone here in the United States. We mark a tragic milestone here in the United States. We mark a tragic milestone here in the United States. 1 million COVID deaths. 1 million empty chairs around the family dinner table. Each irreplaceable, irreplaceable losses. Each leaving behind a family, a community, forever changed because of this pandemic. My heart goes out to all those who are struggling, asking themselves, how do I go on without him? How do I go on without her? What will we do without him? It's grief shared by people across all of our nations. Around the world, many more millions have died. Millions of children have been orphaned. And with thousands still dying every day, now is the time for us to act, all of us, together. We all must do more. We must honor those we have lost by doing everything we can to prevent as many deaths as possible.
Now is the time to act. Yeah, I think so, Mr. President. This is the guy who berated President Trump after allowing 22,000 Americans, as though that was Trump's fault, but 220,000 Americans died of COVID, and he said, that's terrible. And now, with his new plan to get us out of COVID, 1 million people have died. That's five times the amount that happened under Trump, and this happened only in the past year or so. Now, I'm not saying Biden is the reason everybody's dying of COVID. He's certainly not helping the situation with some of their policies, but I'll say this. You don't berate a president who's going under a national crisis like this and then come back and allow another 800,000 plus people to die of the same thing. Take two. Let's listen to this.
We do appear to be entering another phase of this pandemic where vaccinated people with strong immune systems are experiencing milder illness. But cases are going up again. People are still dying of COVID, and we can't rule out the possibility of a major wave in the coming months.
The White House projects up to 30% of the U.S. population could be infected this fall and winter, about 100 million new infections, as the Biden administration pushes Congress for additional funding. For context, about 80 million Americans were infected during the Omicron wave from December through January. Health experts say a surge like that would cause more hospitalizations, but likely not at the same rate we saw earlier in the pandemic.
The average case of COVID-19 does seem to be getting milder, but this is probably more because we as a population are building up immunity, not because the variants are necessarily getting milder on their own.
Still, Dr. David Dowdy of Johns Hopkins says Omicron subvariants remain dangerous for the unvaccinated and people with weakened immune systems.
Yeah, so that was Dr. Dowdy from Johns Hopkins talking about that maybe the new wave is going to be dramatically bigger but won't be as impacting. It won't be as strongly impacting. I've seen some of that. I've in my own family where they've gotten COVID recently and it wasn't as bad, but then I've seen others who had a really bad case of it. Even anti-vaxxer Eric Clapton, you guys know Eric Clapton, right? Great guy, singer, guitar player. Wrote the song Stand and Deliver against vaccinations. Yesterday, he tested positive for COVID. So you can anti-vax and deny all you want. It's out there. And a lot of people are saying it's going to get worse. It's a different variant. We'll talk about more details about that later, but let me introduce myself officially. I'm Randy Mayfield. I'm sitting in for Larry Connors. Thank you, Larry, for entrusting the next couple of days to me. It is the 19th day of May in 2022, and I'm glad that you're here with us, tuning in on KXEN Radio, and also we're live streaming on Rumble.com. You just go to Rumble.com, and you put in the search engine Larry Connor USA. It's one word. And then click on the page for previous podcasts, or you can view this podcast live, which some of you are doing. And thank you for tuning in. So just a little background, if you're not familiar with me. I'm a legend in my own mind, as people say, but some people may not know me. I've been in the St. Louis area for about 43 years now, and I've been a pastor at the St. Louis Church, Central Presbyterian Church in Clayton, for 42 of those 43 years. I led their mission and outreach program, traveled over 90 countries, so I've seen a lot of things, and I hope that I can use some of my experiences to share with you what I know from being in other countries. I'll say this right off the bat. The United States of America is the greatest country in the world to live in. There's some beautiful countries, but this is the place to be. And we're going to come back after the break in just a minute, and I'm going to play you some of my songs that you may have heard. You may not know that you knew me from hearing some of my music on radio and television, but we're going to come back with that, and we're also going to have some great guests on the show. We're going to talk to four-star General Dr. Stephen Bryan about the situation in Ukraine, and I'm going to have my guest Jamal from Iraq. So stay with us. We'll be back right after this break.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Your eyes are burning. You're sneezing. It's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Total Eclipse of the Sun. Now, that didn't happen last week. We had like a lunar eclipse. But when this happened in 2017, I wrote this song called Total Eclipse of the Sun. It kind of took off. We were on radio and TV with it, and it was kind of fun. So you may remember that. There's some other songs that I've written through the years here in St. Louis. Here's one you might remember back in 1993, right around Christmas time, I wrote this song. Well, we're going to have a clip of just the chorus, but we'll hear the whole song in this.
Well, there's ice down on the river, and the landing's dressed in bows. There's a feeling of excitement, and the crisp air smells like snow. I can see the bright lights shining, and I hear the church bells ring. All the young ones wait for Santa, and the carolers all sing.
Deck the halls with boughs of holly, fa la 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 la.
Christmas in St. Louis. That also made it on a number of the television stations. It was a great song back in the 90s. And we did an album called Christmas in St. Louis. Now, here's a song that probably is my most famous. I've written songs that other people have sung and recorded. But this one got more airplay than any of my other songs. And actually, because of ASCAP royalty money, this song made me more money than any other song. And I'll tell you why in just a minute. See if you remember this one.
Squirrel.
Yeah, I know. It's just a little ditty. It's kind of corny. What happened was I'm sitting at the baseball game when the squirrel runs over the plate while Schumacher was at bat, and I'm sitting with a friend, and I just go, Raleigh squirrel, Raleigh squirrel. And, you know, we purposely did it to sound like Rawhide. There's even, if you listen closely, a whip in there. Woo. But so I just did it for fun, and my wife kind of made fun of me. And I sent it the next morning to one of the local stations. They played it, and then the national television picked it up, and then it ended up being played during Game 6. You remember that Game 6 of the 2011 World Series? A major game. Freeze came in and hit a bunch of home runs and won it for us. So it played during that. So that's Raleigh Squirrel. Now, if you've been here a long time in St. Louis, I also used to sing a lot of commercials for carpet companies and different things, but one of my early ones in the 1980s was for Grandpa's. You remember Grandpa Pigeons? Yeah. Grandpa Pigeons, I used to sing their song. It went, bright happy mornings, sweet smiling children, easy friends and Saturdays, and the simple stores of Grandpa's. And I never could quite figure out what an easy friend was, but that was in the song. Easy friends and Saturdays. It was fun. And then, of course, I produced an album in 1993 called A Cardinal Christmas. And thousands of people bought those because it raised money for a local charity here, a children's charity. And Mike Shannon and Jack Buck and Joe Buck and all the Cardinal players were on that as well. So it was kind of fun. So that's just a little bit about my background. I mean, I could go on all day about me, but let's move on with the program because I want to talk about some of the things that are happening with the coronavirus kind of reappearing in different strains. The stock market, do you even want to talk about it? I mean, my retirement fund is based on the stock market. So that's why I'm here filling in for Larry today. I need the work. No, just kidding. But, you know, it was down over 1,100 points the other day. And it's already down a few hundred points today. So we're going to talk about that. We'll speak with four-star general Dr. Stephen Bryan about the current situation in Ukraine. And then we'll talk about some ongoing things. Let me play a couple of clips for you right now, and we'll talk a little bit about what's happening with COVID right now. Number six.
We knew the day was coming, and now it's arrived. The United States has now recorded more than 1 million COVID deaths. It is the highest reported death toll of any country. And this terrible, largely preventable milestone comes as cases are once again on the rise.
220,000 Americans dead. If you hear nothing else I say tonight, hear this. Anyone who's responsible for not taking control, in fact, not saying I take no responsibility initially. Anyone who's responsible for that many deaths should not remain as president of the United States of America.
The problem we have is this illusion or deception that the pandemic is over, when in fact these variants that we're seeing are coming at a much faster clip. There's an accelerated evolution of the virus, and these are more troubling variants. They're not more mild. In fact, they have a more immune escape. So they're transmitting at levels that is really inconceivable and starting to approach the level of measles, one of the most spreadable pathogens we've ever encountered. So we have trouble right now. As you mentioned, we are seeing at least 600,000-700,000 real cases a day. Likely it's going to continue to increase in this country as we confront this so-called BA.2.1.2.1 variant, one of the several of the Omicron family.
Yeah, so that's Eric Topol. He's the founder of the Scripps Research Translational Institute, talking about the new variants. We'll get into that in a minute. But I don't. Did you hear President Biden's quote? This was in 2020 when he was running for president. And he promised that if elected president, he would get COVID under control. But he also said he pledged that, you know, they do the best to get everybody vaccinated. But he said anyone who is responsible for these deaths, 220,000 deaths, should not remain as president of the United States. 220,000 deaths. The president, he held President Trump responsible for those deaths, and he should not be the president. I agree with him that he, who has allowed 1 million deaths now, the highest numbers in the whole world, should not be the president. Thank you, President Biden, for that quote. You know, it's always out there. You say things, but it's always going to be out there. And now, here he is quoting. Let me tell you what he said again. Anyone who is responsible for that many deaths should not remain president of the United States. I agree wholeheartedly. Thank you, Mr. President. So we're hearing that the COVID has climbed 60% in just the last 2 weeks. And there's a lot of other variants. There's the alpha, the beta, the gamma. There's B1, B2, B4, B5. It's an alarming pace. Now, they're saying these aren't as strong as some of the original ones, but people are dying and people are being hospitalized. And we need to be worried about it. We need to be concerned about it. We need to take steps, whatever steps those are. Have you been thinking about the coronavirus lately? Are you kind of thinking, okay, I don't have to wear a mask. I just flew to Portugal 2 weeks ago. Didn't have to wear a mask. So exciting. And now Portugal's got the guy sitting next to me at dinner had the coronavirus, had COVID. Thankfully, I tested and I didn't have it. I still don't. But I did get it. And even after both shots and the booster, I got a very mild case, lasted a couple of days. But my wife, whom I refer to as my girlfriend because she is, has been for 43 years, she got the first initial two shots. She didn't get the booster. And when she got COVID just before I did several months ago, she was down for 2 weeks with almost 101 fever for 2 weeks. And we really thought about it. She got up, washed her hair, and got ready to go to the hospital. And by the grace of God, the fever went down. So it's by God's grace and my tender, loving care for her. That's how she came out fine. I took care of her as much as she would let me. So as Eric Topol said, it's difficult as it is to mentally confront. We have to do something. Because something worse than Omicron is in the months ahead. This is going to go on, folks, for a while. This is not a little thing we can say, well, we're taking the masks off now. We can get together. Yeah, that's what the mandates have said, that you can take the masks off now if you desire to do that. Some people still wear them. But the problem is, as he said, there are several variants to the Omicron. And these newly coronavirus strains seem to be able to get past our protection and resistance that we've had already. If you'll pop up number nine there. We'll listen to what Topol says about that.
We're not doing the things that we could do the innovations that we need to get ahead of the virus. I mean, the things, not just the mask and the physical distancing sort of thing that you're alluding to, but, you know, the things like having nasal vaccines and a pan beta coronavirus vaccine and much better medications beyond what we have today. Those things are imperative. And part of this capitulation is that we have basically hand waving. Oh, we're done. We don't want to put any further investments or funds or support. And this is a crucial time right now because it's not going to get better. In fact, it's at a very serious state right now, and we have too many paths for trouble in the times ahead as well.
Yeah, so the Biden administration is warning that the United States could see 100 million coronavirus infections, more than what we've had, and potentially a significant wave of deaths this winter and in the fall and the winter. And there's all these subvariants. That's the issue. Many have, like I said, gotten kind of relaxed, taken the masks off, and they think everything's okay. But I think we need to be careful. The national average of new infections is more than doubled since last month. 71,000 new infections just this past week. So don't relax too much. And like I said, I personally got back from Portugal. Everybody was relaxed, and then everybody had COVID. They also got monkeypox. I might talk about that later. Have you ever heard of monkeypox? That just came to Portugal. It's weird. I'll tell you what it is. It's strange. Later on, we're going to talk about finances, and we're going to talk about inflation, what's happening with the stock market, how it's impacted you. Like I said, as a retiree, my retirement fund has started to tank, so pray for me, if you will, and my wife more than me. And we'll hopefully have some breaking news on what's happening with the Supreme Court on the abortion decision. They're still debating it. They've been debating it the last few days in Congress. And we have some information on that about what they're talking about. It's been kind of interesting because the House Judiciary Committee held a hearing Wednesday about Roe v. Wade. And there's some interesting things that Jerry Nadler, the Democrat out of New York, had to say. He said if abortion is, the abortion laws are set aside, it will be devastating. It will be devastating. We will not be able to kill our unborn children. That is going to be devastating. And there are some comments by the executive director of the Abortion Rights for Texas, Amy Arambib. And she says she talks about what a woman is and who can have abortions and who can't. I mean, it's very interesting stuff. And there's some stuff with Kamala Harris that she had to share. So we'll talk about that a little bit, about simply leaving. It's actually not a bill to end abortion. It's a bill that simply says – we will move the decision to the states, and they can have the option of you killing your children state by state. So the government doesn't say it's fine to kill your children. The states will let you know that. So it doesn't end abortion, unfortunately, but maybe it'll stifle some of what's going on. And as groups continue to reach out, groups like Thrive here in St. Louis, and help mothers who are going through unwanted pregnancies, and the churches reach out, that's going to help the whole situation. People think they're abandoned, they got nothing to do, and they even say, well, you talk about it, but you won't do anything about it. A lot of people are doing something about it. And then later on in the hour, we're going to talk to my friend Jamal from Iraq. It's going to be good. So lock and load, ready on the right. We'll be right back.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We know that this is a time for us to be tightly focused on the path ahead and on getting inflation back down to 2%. We know how people are suffering from high inflation, and we have both the tools and the resolve to get inflation back down. And no one should doubt our resolve in doing that. And I think if you look at how quickly we've moved in the last few months, really, then you'll see that financial conditions have tightened quite a bit. What we need to see is inflation coming down in a clear and convincing way. And we're going to keep pushing until we see that.
Yes, I hope they do. There's another little clip there. Do you have the next clip from him? Anyway, let me ask you a personal question. Inflation is now over 8-point-something percent. It's high. And they're pushing to get it down to 2%. Beautiful. I hope that happens for you and for me. But how are things going for you financially? I just got an email from a young lady who said she's homeless. She's broke. She's everything that she had is gone. And what is she going to do? She can't afford to pay her bills. She can't afford to lease her home. She was kind of frauded out of a situation with her home. Can't buy groceries. Reaching out to the church and to other agencies to help, which is good that they're there to help. But, you know, when you cash your paycheck and pay your bills, and is there anything else left? I don't generally go out and buy steaks for dinner, but I had a guest in town. You'll hear from him later, Jamal from Iraq. And I bought him some steaks. And, that's coming up next. And I was shocked. I mean, I know steaks are expensive, especially ribeyes. I was expecting I don't shop that much, I admit. I thought milk was $2 a gallon. It's $3.69, and my wife, her milk is $7 a gallon. Why? She has to have grass-fed, organic, whatever. It's expensive. Living is expensive, especially if you're going to live organically, I guess. But what's left over? Can you ever go out for a night on the town? And I, as a retiree, and I know many of you listening probably are retired, some of you, and it's difficult especially when you're tied into the stock market and what's been happening the last couple of days, or really the last month and a half. There's just nothing left. And so you need major home repairs, which I do. And you just got to keep putting it off. We'll put the new roof on later. We'll do this. Inflation is killing us. And, you know, again, they say, well, we're going to do something about it. Let's listen to this clip from our president, see what he has to say.
Americans have a choice right now between two paths reflecting two very different sets of values. My plan attacks inflation and grows the economy by lowering costs for working families, giving workers well-deserved raises, reducing the deficit by historic levels, and making big corporations and the very wealthiest Americans pay their fair share. The other path is the ultra-MAGA plan put forward by congressional Republicans to raise taxes on working families, lower the income of American workers.
Yeah, so, okay. He's got a couple of plans here. The Biden plan, which we know has not been working. We're in the highest inflation
deserve raises
in decades. And the stock market's diving, as I said. And he wants to tax the rich. He says something about the wealthiest Americans. Well, you're looking at them in Congress, most of them, millionaires and billionaires, and they're not about to pass a law that's going to tax them or make them required to buy the same insurance that we have to buy and those kind of things. So that plan doesn't work. So then he says, okay, well, then we have the MAGA plan. Well, okay, yeah, we did. And we also had a thriving, healthy economy, a thriving stock market, low employment, low inflation, low underemployment, low inflation. But I say there's a third choice. Before we go to our break, let me remind you there's a third choice. And that choice comes up in November. You can elect people who will represent you and who will look after you. And I'm talking maybe mostly to the middle class, upper middle class, those who are maybe lower middle class. Those of us who've worked hard for a living, not the wealthiest millionaires. Yes, they need to pay their fair share, no doubt about it. Congress needs to pay their fair share, all of those people. But we'll come back and talk a little bit more about that, and then we're going to have a special guest coming in the studio. So we'll talk to you soon. In 2023, the rates, they say, are going to fall, hopefully, to 3%. Well, it's still over 8%. So we'll see what's going to happen. It eased a little bit in April, but it's not enough. Let's elect some people.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The Ukraine thing is a really huge problem, a very dangerous problem. And it's impossible to say how it's going to work out. As you know, the Russians have their point of view. NATO and the United States has its point of view. And I would add that the Europeans have their point of view. They're not all the same at all. And particularly, there's a division between what some of the Western European countries see, especially the Germans, but not only, the French as well, and what the U.S. is saying. So we have lots of disconnects and a lot of activity going on, some of it very harsh, some of the statements made by our president here in the United States, by the leader of NATO, and by the Russians, by Mr. Putin, Mr. Lavrov, the harsh statements back and forth, a constant kind of chatter that doesn't seem to want to sort itself out yet.
That's Dr. Stephen Bryan, and Dr. Bryan is our guest today. He's a leading expert in security strategy and technology, and he's held senior positions in the Department of Defense on Capitol Hill as president of a large multinational defense and technology company, and currently he's a senior fellow at the American Center for Democracy, the Center for Security Policy, and twice awarded the Defense Department's highest civilian honor, the Distinguished Service Medal. Dr. Bryan, it's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Well, Dr. Mayfield, it's nice to join you.
Thank you. I'm looking over all your background information, your accomplishments. I feel like I'm not even worthy to speak to you, but I'm so delighted. I'm delighted for this opportunity because I know you have so much insight on what's going on. And as you know, I think Larry told you, I have a vested interest in Ukraine. I've traveled there for 30-some years and have hundreds of good friends there. So this has really been on my heart, what's going on there. And I just want to ask you, from your perspective with the ongoing war and what you feel the possible outcomes might be, and will we see Ukraine as a sovereign country again? What are your thoughts on what's happening right now?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that Ukraine will survive. I don't think that's the issue. I think the issue is how much of it will survive.
Yeah.
And what kind of condition it will it be in after the war finally ends, assuming that it will end. And, you know, the amount of destruction is formidable, human and physical. So, you know, there's a lot of infrastructure that's been destroyed, industry that's been blown away, cultural places ruined. Millions of people have left the country. So there's a brain drain. There's a worker drain. It's a mess.
Yeah,
to put it simply.
It is my.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, my friends continue to keep me updated, and the seminary where I used to teach is gone. It's been blown away in Irpin.
Oh wow!
A lot of the churches, their homes, my friends' homes. They send me a picture of their homes that were destroyed, and so we see this on the news in a general sense. We say this is terrible, but for some of us specifically, our friends have been impacted and affected. And like you said, there's so much destruction. I used to speak a lot in Mariupol, and Mariupol, I guess, isn't hardly even there anymore, is it?
They say it's pretty well ruined. Yeah. They even destroyed an ancient synagogue there.
Yeah.
So my family comes originally from Kherson, which was once called Elizabethgrad. So we know... You know, we know a little bit about the place.
Yes.
It's a tragedy, but I think it's also beyond, the war has gone beyond anybody's concept of objectives. In other words, whatever the Russians wanted to achieve, they'll never achieve. At least in my opinion. Sure, they may hold eastern Ukraine for a long time, but it's going to be a mess. It's going to be ruined. So, it's going to be, it's horrible from the point of view of the Russians don't have money. They're not going to revive it. It's just going to be a shambles. What do they win? They win very little. Plus, they've lost probably 25,000 men.
Yeah.
Maybe more. They lost a huge amount of military equipment. Russia's really on its heels. I don't know, right now the Ukrainians are saying we won't even do a ceasefire unless the Russians leave the country.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing's going to be, at best, stalemated, and the losses will continue. It is not a very good prospect.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what the options are. Do you think this threat that Putin's been giving of nuclear war is serious? Or, I mean, he seems so unstable. I don't know what to even think about his comments.
Well, that's the problem. I mean, nobody knows. I mean, I think that the nuclear argument that the Russians were making, which included Lavrov and Putin, too,
yeah,
was aimed at Eastern Europe. Well, aimed at Europe. It wasn't really aimed at Ukraine. What they're trying to say is if the Europeans physically intervene, cross the line, so to speak, then there'll be a general war and they might use nuclear weapons. I think that was the threat.
Yeah. I know they're not particularly excited about what's happening with Sweden and Finland wanting to be a part of NATO.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't either if I were the Russians, because that means both sides of the Baltic now are NATO.
Right. Right.
So the Russians are essentially boxed in. They're boxed in there, and they're kind of boxed in the Black Sea, too, if the Turks don't let their warships go in and out of the Straits, the Dardanelles Straits, so that the Russian Navy has been kind of checkmated.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they were surprised by – oh, they have been surprised by Ukraine's reaction so far. I think they thought this was going to be over in 4 or 5 days, and here they are 3 months into it and still battling.
That's right. No, you're absolutely right. They thought that they could force a coup in Kiev.
Yeah.
Get rid of Zelensky and his crowd and bring in pro-Russian crowd to rule the country.
Yeah. What do you think about Zelensky? He seems to really be standing up. A lot of people really admire his courage. He was not a political person, really, but here he's really taken a step out here.
Well, he's obviously brave.
Yeah.
I mean, and courageous and all those things. I mean, you can't take that away from him. He's standing up to the big bear, and his troops are, and his society is. I mean, there doesn't seem to be any pushback internally, at least not that he can see.
Mm-hmm.
So he's hanging in there, and he's providing real leadership. So I admire what he's doing very much.
Yeah, I mean, and I've also heard some things, some kind of, I guess they're rumors right now, but of Putin's health situation, and even others saying they're looking for opportunity to take him out in one way or another. Have you heard anything about?
Yeah, I hear the same things you're hearing.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's hearing it. I wonder if Putin's hearing it.
Yeah, I don't know. I did notice the other day, he was at a conference. Somebody said he has cancer and he might have Parkinson's. And I did notice when he sits at his long table across from people, he holds on to the edge of the table tightly. So he doesn't shake. So I wonder. I don't know. It's all conjecture at this point, I guess. But
I think it's just. I mean, the real problem is that the Russian army has fallen on its face.
Yeah.
And that's the Air Force, the Army, and the Navy. All three have performed poorly.
Hmm.
I mean, that's the best you can say. Poorly. Sometimes worse than poorly. And I think that was a great shock to the United States and to NATO. No one expected that. And it kind of tells you that they've been telling us a lot of stories.
Yeah.
That it's a kind of Potemkin country. They're not real. That they really don't have the capabilities they claim. And I think that's true. They've also got a lot of corruption. A lot of things they thought they had they didn't have.
Yeah. So do you think Putin was surprised, or did it just kind of live out what he thought might happen with the military not having the strength?
He's entrapped. He made a decision to invade, probably with some pressure from his nationalist colleagues.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. He made the decision. So his political future depends on some outcome that can look like a victory.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look like that's going to happen.
So you don't see him pulling out?
I don't see him surviving.
Wow.
Actually.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think that he'll be pushed out. I mean, how that's done, whether they decide he's sick and he has to go, or whether he's assassinated, or whether he's just, there's a coup of some sort. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
Russia's not very clear, not very easy to see. But, to me, he lost. And, you know, people are going to want to replace him. Yeah. I think that will happen.
Any thoughts on our Congress approving $40 billion to aid Ukraine? Do you think that's overdoing things?
It's way too much money.
Yes. It's a lot of money.
I think it's huge. I mean, and most of it can't be spent anyway.
Yeah, how are we going to monitor it? How do we monitor that?
There's no. In fact, there was a resolution by Senator Paul to put a monitor in, and they rejected it.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be. You know, $40 billion is. It was a senator named Everett Dirksen, a very famous Republican senator.
Yeah.
Congress, $100 million here, $100 million there. Pretty soon, you're talking about real money.
Exactly.
Well, $40 billion is real money.
It is. And, you know, I know a lot of people have said, we have so many great needs and homeless and issues here. It's not the same thing. Somebody tried to compare their homelessness to Ukraine. Yes, they're homeless, but they're also being bombed and they're also being – the country's being destroyed.
It's a war, yeah.
Yeah, right. But we do have a lot of needs here that need to be addressed. And I think maybe the American people are saying – and it seemed to go through fairly easily, quickly, and by a majority.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those knee-jerk Washington's famous knee-jerk stuff. I mean, the thing that bothers me is that our rich European friends are not putting
exactly.
in.
Exactly. Exactly.
They should be paying more than half of that bill.
Yeah, there needs to be.
And the American people deserve that. If we're going to support Ukraine and they're going to support Ukraine, then put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. One other thing. Some people don't understand NATO, me being really one of them. I know a little bit, but we can't. NATO can't get involved, and they say Ukraine.
Well, we are very. I mean, NATO is very heavily involved.
I guess, in that sense, but directly
providing arms. But it's been training the Ukrainians for 7 or 8 years.
Yeah.
It has advisors that are in Ukraine. I mean, look, it's not NATO's deeply involved.
But there,
it hasn't sent troops.
I think you're right. I think you're right about that. I'm just saying, we cannot, due to whatever agreements, we can't send in troops. We can't, fly. They want that no-fly zone. We can't do that. It seems frustrating because some of these things maybe we could have nipped a lot of stuff in the bud, but we couldn't do it. And that's because of an agreement we have, right?
Well, I mean, if NATO wanted to, it could. I mean, it would have to vote it. Everybody would have to agree.
Yeah. And but, Russia's one of the votes.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if we'd get the votes, from the NATO members to do it, because they're all afraid the war would then spread to Eastern Europe and maybe beyond into Germany, and they're worried about it.
Yeah.
If you look at Ukraine objectively and you see how much the Russians have been able to destroy, okay, they're not winning, but they're destroying. Think of that in Western European terms. It's dreadful. Because it would destroy the whole European economy. So that's what they're afraid of.
Yeah. Well, do you have any closing thoughts just to share some insights you have on what we need to be thinking about and maybe hoping and praying that could happen in the
– Well, I think that we're reaching a stage where you don't want a protracted, endless war.
Yeah.
What you really want is a negotiated settlement of some kind. I think the Russians will take almost anything right now.
Yeah.
And I think the Ukrainians should be encouraged to say to them, look,
good.
We can make some deals here. Let's see what we can work out.
That's a good word. Dr. Brian, thanks so much for your insights and your time today. We're going to keep a close eye on the Ukraine, and we may get back to you in the future. But thank you so much.
Thank you, Reverend. Take care.
Bye-bye. Thanks. We'll be back with some final thoughts in just a minute.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
The other day, some listeners saw me in Cafe Napoli, and one said, "We see you here all the time." I said, "Yes, you do. I am the Cafe Napoli ambassador." Truth is, I've been a Napoli customer for decades, when there was only the Clayton location, then Town and Country, now St. Charles. Trust me, you'll enjoy great food, drinks, service. Cafe Napoli, Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles. And tell them the Cafe Napoli ambassador sent you.
Walk down the door. Just
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
That's a good song, Mark. I will survive, especially after that Ukraine thing. You know, that's what a lot of my friends in Ukraine are telling me. We're making it. We're going to survive. They've lost a lot of property, friends. You know, all the young guys have to fight in the military. I think tomorrow we have a guest from Ukraine, and he'll talk to us a little bit about what's happening there and how the United States and other countries are reaching out to really help them. So some final thoughts for this hour. A lot of things going on. The church shooting, I know Larry talked about that the other day, but I happen to know I know of Dr. John Chang. He's a really good friend of one of my pastor friends in Texas, and they consider him a hero. And this monster who killed him in Southern California in this church, you guys are aware of that. John wasn't even supposed to be there, but his mom was going to an event, and he took his mom to this church. It was a Taiwanese church, and this Chinese man, David Wenwei Chow, with no warning, he had this attack planned, and he went in and opened fire this past Sunday afternoon, killing Dr. Chang and injuring many who were at this lunch gathering, elderly parishioners. They were like in their 80s and 90s. Just a very hateful, premeditated crime, and I know that they've already put him up before the jury, the grand jury, and he's in some trouble. But let's listen to this clip, number 14, and then I'll talk a little bit more about Dr. Chang.
Tonight, Dr. John Chang is considered a hero and credited with saving countless lives inside Geneva Presbyterian Church after a gunman opened fire on Sunday. Dr. Chang was shot and killed after authorities say he rushed the shooter, giving others time to stop him from killing others.
I have no doubt that everybody that was in there would not be with us today had it not been for Dr. John Chang being there yesterday.
His work family says Dr. Chang was not part of that church. They say he had taken his mom there for the first time since his father passed away about a month ago. They say his family is heartbroken and in shock.
They're devastated, you know. He was their man, you know, and
we've pretty much lost our master.
They say Dr. Chang was a master of martial arts and taught everyone how to protect themselves in an emergency.
He was adamant that everybody should know how to defend themselves. I 100% know exactly. When they had said that he had gone across the room and charged him, I can see him doing that.
His colleagues say they always knew Dr. Chang had a passion for medicine and healing, and now he's hailed a hero for paying the ultimate sacrifice to save others.
He was a protector, and that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, you know, Dr. Chang was a close friend of Dr. Rhett Payne, a friend of mine who's a pastor, and he attended his church in Marshall, Texas. He was the first believer in his household, and he led his parents and family, siblings, to Christ. They all lived in Marshall, and he was a part of the youth ministry there, and so many people in Marshall just loved him and appreciated him. And this is such a tragedy, but they were not surprised when they heard that it was him, that he jumped up and grabbed this guy and blocked him and allowed other people to hold him down and tie him up. They weren't surprised that John did this. That's just who he was, the kind of person that he was. And we need to continue to pray for his family, the family of Dr. John Chang, and a tragedy that it is. Pray for his kids, his wife, and all those. And so we're going to be back on that sad note. We'll be back with a little happier stuff, some updates on some of the issues that are in the news right now. We'll also talk at the end of the next hour to Jamal Abu Majd about what's going on in Iraq with the refugees and with all the work that he's doing there with the military. We'll be right back on Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.